she didn't want to sit and have to give this bottle to the baby constantly. So he hooked up a device. He did. That's the gun part of him, Clayton.
Yeah, when he has his own baby, he can't
hook up anything. So that he could leave the baby sit there and this thing would feed it. But anyways, for anyone that missed it, I just turned this machine on. I'm talking about Dominic has a little, I guess that's not new. I never, first time I ever heard of it. But for the freshman class, especially in high school, they have to babysit a little doll that looks like a real human and does look just like a person. Could have fooled me. And he has to make sure that it doesn't cry, and I don't know what all he's got to do. But anyways, well, the numbers are getting less and less. We have the girls with us today because our youngest brother Joe is up in the hospital, and he has been having high fevers. And he had a, I think Clayton probably knows more than I do about it, but he had not a virus, what do they call it?
Probably a small stroke. But he has three aneurysms in his brain. And he's, I think they call them clots now, so I think maybe they're little clots. But that's not his major problem of all things. A year ago, Joe had major heart surgery and had a valve replaced. And this is probably, he's amazing he's still alive. This has been probably the most terrifying, painful year that he's ever had in his whole life.
Yeah.
And his heart surgery seemed to have gone all right. But then he had back problems, and he had terrible pain in one side. And I don't know how many times Keith took him to the hospital or places, but I took Joel four times. I took him, I think, to emergency, I think, three times. And every time we would take him, they would... they had to wheel him in. He couldn't walk or anything at the time. They had to wheel him in, put him on like on that table that they put people on, that like an operating table, check him over, prescribe some pain pills, and send him back home again. And this has been going on for like 7 months.
A long time, yeah.
And we wanted him. First time we went in, I was sure that they would admit him, and then... check him out to see what his problem was.
Yeah, check that.
Well, anyway, Joel would not have found out anything if he hadn't had a stroke. He was taking the girls to school. The girls know what happened, but he hit a tree. He hit a telephone pole in the yard and got disoriented and made the wrong turn and really got confused. And then what happened is that a neighbor took him to the Bloomer Hospital. The Bloomer Hospital sent him to Lutheran Hospital, and what appeared to be was a stroke, and it probably was because of the different problem. But Lutheran Hospital has put him through all kinds of tests, spinal tap. They went into his stomach, they've given him an MRI, and they have found that he's got all kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. He's got the valve that he had put in a year ago. No, it's around the first of October, or last of September, or first of October. The valve that they put in is probably going to have to be replaced. So he's going to have open heart surgery on that.
He's leaked, the valve is
leaking.
The valve
is leaking
that
they put in. And right above the valve, the main artery, or what it comes into the heart, that got enlarged so big that the doctor said that if it had broke, that he would have, you know, died instantly almost. But anyway, he's got those kind of problems. And so now they've got to replace the valve. And I think probably Monday morning, probably they're going to, Monday they're going to do it. And then they've got to do something with the artery that goes into the heart, because it's bulging. It's just kind of blown up. And so he's got major, major problems.
The mesh surgery they put in is messed up.
Yeah, then he, has, they found another hernia.
In his stomach.
In his stomach or someplace.
Last night they found it.
But, and so, I mean, he has got not just one problem, but he's got, his back is, he's disabled with his back, I mean, through the military. He's got an old hernia operation that they put double mesh in, and there's something wrong with that. A year after he had the hernia operation on his right side, where the doctor put the mesh in, he went in with pain. The doctor gave him a shot of cortisone, and he said it helped it for a while. So not only did he have, you know, problems with his heart, but his back was so bad that he couldn't move, really. Couldn't walk or anything. Then he gets the pain in his side, which he thinks is from the hernia operation. So he's been living in terrible pain. And then, besides that, taking him into the clinic and having them check him, all they did is prescribe him this oxycodone.
Yep.
And that has actually raised havoc with his stomach.
Yeah.
So he can hardly, they have just filled him full of that, and it actually has done damage to his stomach now. And but the last time he went to the doctor from, he was going to Marshfield, now he's in Mayo. But when he was going to Marshfield, the last time he went to the doctor said, you've got us confounded. But he said, what I will do is give you a tetanus shot and take that little wart off your eye, next to his eye. But I know Keith has been the same way. We have been really frustrated. Because it's always been, when you've got someone that is really sick, you take them to the doctor, and with the pain and everything, you admit them and to the hospital, and you check them out and find out what's wrong with them. It took a stroke to get him into the hospital where they could check him out and find out what his problem is.
Oh, his peril, too.
And
his arm.
Huh?
Paralyzed.
Yes, he's got numbness in the left side of his face. And his left arm. So he really, he needs a lot of prayer. He's been through a living hell, really.
He's got those two girls over there to take care of. Praise God.
I'm glad that the Bible says all things are possible with God. And for whatever reason, and of course Wadena has had a lot to do with it, but for whatever reason, Joe has had a real hunger and thirst to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's been a driving force. We've talked about it a lot of times, and Wadena has both instilled that in both Beverly and in Joe, and Beverly's going to come up today. And to get her, I think Rodney's going to pick her up. But anyway, so we may need to spend.
Yeah, you could pray now, you know. This is kind of a personal thing between Keith and I, you know, because of our brother this time.
Yeah. So.
Pray right now.
Why don't we? Why don't we? Let's come up to the front, and there's just a handful of us here today, anyway. Let's come up and
don't touch it. baby.
The right side of foot.
Oh, yeah. I was over there. You can't roll around.
Actually, it's one of the girls. Mitt, as long as we're up here, I got a call from Ken this morning. He, wasn't going to be able to make it today, but his mother is failing, and he asked that we pray for her. And then the fellow he works for, his dad, we prayed for him a number of times, having surgery tomorrow. So we pray sure about that.
Yeah. Let your girls come over here by us. We're talking about somebody that we like very much, and girls do.
Lord, we come to you again, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for this thing.
We come to you, Lord. Lord, compassion. Lord, just reach out. And let Joel know, Lord, that you're with him.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, even today, Lord, he's walking through the shadow of death, Lord.
Lord,
reveal to him, Lord, that you are his shepherd, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that you are, Lord, his comfort, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And in time of need, Lord. And Lord, help him, Lord, to, as he faces this surgery, Lord.
Yes,
give him strength, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
To finish the journey that he's begun.
Yes,
Lord. We're praying, Lord, for miracles. Lord, even now, Lord, you can cause that bell, Lord, to be, Lord, sealed, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, you can, Lord, take that enlargement in that blood vessel, Lord. You can, Lord, strengthen all of that. Lord, we pray, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For a mighty, mighty miracle. Oh, God, the animals, Lord, that you have enjoyed, Lord. Oh, God, remove them, we pray. Oh, God. Lord, he's on his way to you, Lord. Lord, he's on his way, Lord, to full salvation, Lord. Lord, he's on his way, Lord. Lord, he's calling, Lord. He's turning to you, Lord. And Lord, he needs you, Lord, more than ever.
That's right.
Oh, God. So we're just praying, Lord, as we pray together, Lord, that you would just, Lord, lay your healing hand upon that, Lord, and that hospital of death, Lord. And Lord, and take the pain, Lord, the hernia, Lord, that's down in his pelvic area, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would remove that. Oh, God. Lord, you cleanse the leper, Lord. You open the blinded eyes, Lord. Lord, you heal the lame, Lord. Oh, God. And Lord, you raise the dead. Lord, we serve you, Lord, the same, Lord. You've never changed. You said that you're the same, Lord, today and forever, Lord. Oh, God. And Lord, you are the same. And Lord, so we just pray, Lord, that you would touch us this very day. And Lord, touch these girls, Lord, that they will, Lord, have faith to believe, Lord. Oh, God, that their Lord is one who's going to heal their father, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you finally got here. Lord, you finally got the same place, oh Lord, that you at least tell him what he brought in our
hearts.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
One of the worst parts was a blood infection. That was what I was trying to think of. He had a blood infection.
Yes. Around the heart and around the valve, he actually got an infection.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that your hand will be on Penn's mother, O Lord. Lord, we ask, O Jesus, the woman saved, O Lord. But Lord, we ask you to be with her in there, O Lord, and that she would be clear,
Lord,
we ask.
Let her have that assurance, Lord, of that trust, Lord, that she can have in you.
Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you'd be with this this man, this father, of
Lord.
Fellow that can't work with, O Lord, going through that medical procedure. Guide the surgeons, O Lord, to do things the way they're supposed to be done, O Lord. Lord, we ask your strength to be there, O Lord. Be able to go through this procedure and take the Lord's advice. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we see so often doctors really just don't do things very well. Thank you, Lord. I think there's a lesson there.
Yes.
You are the great physician, Lord.
Yes.
So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that you would make up the difference, O Lord, in the inadequacy of the medical professional, Lord, with Joe. No. And, Lord, with this other man, O Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, O Lord.
Each and each case, O Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, they just don't know things very well.
Thank you.
But you do, Lord.
Yes.
So Lord, we ask that you would just make up the difference, Lord, by your Spirit.
Healing
thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. The problem is they're human like we are. We don't know what they don't know. Pablo and Candy went up to get Jackie, which is Pablo's mother. And so just keep that in your prayer too. That's what they're good now.
Let's lift up those people that went to reach because it burnt down. And many of them are really sad because that's. They said that's our home. They go there every day. You hear about Reach burning down?
I heard, yeah.
Yeah. And
what's Reach? I don't know.
It's some facility in Eau Claire.
For retarded people.
Oh, special people.
Over on 3rd Street. Oh. We went right by it just a few hours. You know, before that, we were down the hospital to Joe. And I heard that they, it's affecting some of those people, and if they're going to rebuild, I think.
Lord, you just have your hand upon that whole situation.
Holy touch me, holy touch me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something is happening, and now I know Jesus touched me and made me whole. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something is happening, and now I know Jesus touched me and made me whole. Oh,
touching me. Yes, he's touching me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something is happening, and I know Jesus is touching me, and he makes me whole.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. I have been sending out CDs of my messages, and the postage has gone up, and up. And a lot of the people can get the messages on the internet. And as a matter of fact, most of them. So what we're going to do is we're going to send a little note in. It'll be one more time that we do it. We're going to send them out once more. And the note inside, and if there's any people that don't have access to the internet and want us to send them, we will. But otherwise, we're spending a lot of money and without really knowing for sure what's happening to them. And so, one more time, we're going to do it with a notation. And then after that, it'll just be on the internet, because most people that we know now are tuned in, and they call us and tell us that they're listening on the, you know what? I'm trying to describe something I don't even understand. That gets a little bit difficult. But I don't know what they're listening to, but they're getting it anyway. So, anyways.
They can tune into the church's website.
Yeah.
You know, hearing the story about Joe and all his problems and nobody ever figuring out what they are. Boy, it's just astonishing, isn't it? But isn't that really so much the way of it? You know? Certainly with in medicine, but otherwise too. In so many ways, otherwise too. We just need the Lord. We just simply need the Lord. And can you imagine without Him? Oh, the total inadequacy. You know, if this were the most that you had looked forward to, rather than a relationship with the Lord, and really having a relationship with the Lord in heaven. If this were it, as Paul say, of all men we'd be most miserable or whatever. But I am just so happy, really very, very happy, that His grace plucked me out of the crowd. Believe me, there was nothing special about me. No particular reason why He'd pick me over anybody else. But He did, for whatever reason. His grace. You know. And He touched me as we sang. That was good. And it is so good to have something much better to look forward to.
Yeah, the news about Joe is sobering. You know, I've been thinking about this off and on, and so if this meanders a little bit, bear with me. But you know, the difference in our walk comes down to knowing when that you're following the true word of God. You know, Paul, we use him as an example, was very dogmatic in his positions and his belief that he was following, you know, the true word of God. And the Pharisees, in their belief that they were following the true word of God as they understood it, you know, I mean, they had the lineage, they had the history, I mean, they know that they were the chosen people, and they were quite willing to defend it. I mean, to die for it. I mean, the death packs that some of the Pharisees made to kill the apostles. And, you know, we kind of go through, we kind of badmouth the Pharisees. And yet, really, the only difference between, say, them and Paul is, well, Paul was right because he had the true word of God. And the Pharisees thought they had the true word of God, but they didn't. You know, and so it kind of like you go, and I've been dwelling on this because this smacks of where I tend to operate in the natural too much. And, you know, you only can do what you can do, and you can only understand what God lets you understand, and you want to be fervent in your desire to know the truth. And yet the truth is somewhat paced by what God gives you to know. I mean, we talk about a scripture, and I can't recall an exact one, but if we think back on a scripture setting and we say, you know, this means this. This is the revelation we have today, and this means this. And 7 years later, someone gets up and reads it and pauses in it and says, well, wait, read it like this. And it means something different. And we go, Now, in a legalistic pathway, we would do it. We'd go, you know, what the heck were they doing? But, you know, fervently seeking the Lord and getting it not fully revealed is not necessarily a bad thing. It's the place where we say grace really needs to cover us. And fervently seeking the Lord and getting the additional revelation to understand something different or better or more truthful is my heart. I mean, that's where I want to be going. And I get up every so often and, you know, try and warn us all about, you know, don't get too dogmatic because, man, there's been a lot of, as they say, shifts. You know, when I first came here, you know, we fervently believed this, and today we fervently believe something different. And you know, the problem isn't so much what you believe, although that's important, very important. I mean, I don't know that you can be wrong, but God's grace is pretty big. It covers a lot of things. But we don't maybe spend enough time, or I don't spend enough time dwelling upon my heart. It's my heart to do this. It's my heart to be fervently seeking God's truth. And so I can be fervently seeking God's truth, and with the revelation I have, that's not really amounting to much. You know, Matthew 7 Christians. They were doing what they thought was right, but their heart wasn't quite in it. And then Jesus, in his polite way, said, I don't even know who you guys are. You know, that had to just be, that must have hit them like someone knocked them over with a rock. I mean, they had fervently been doing what they thought was the work, that they were supposed to be doing. And I believe that their heart was in that work. But God said, but it wasn't the right heart. You know, and this troubles me. I struggle with this. This is Corky's personal relationship here. Because if you are doing what you're trying to do to the best of your ability, and then you're told, yeah, you missed it. Boy, I mean, as Christians, we really, that's, you know, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that I've been chasing the wrong thing. Fervently. It's by my heart's desire. But, you know, the last few years, what I've really come to see and accept is, it is the fervency of keeping an open heart and wanting truth and be willing to accept whatever that truth is or wherever God takes us on that truth is really the winning thing. Like I said, we kind of knock the Pharisees. Geez, why were these guys so confused? And why did they always fall on traditions? Well, you know, they only had 1,000 years of teaching or whatever it was, and you go, oh. Well, and boy, it is so easy to look back and say, all these people can't be wrong. Yet we know, yes, they can. They can all have been deceived. And it gets hard when you have to stand up and say, if God is with me, and this is what he gives me, then I'm going to go after it with all the zeal and fervency that I can, because I'm going to count on God to straighten me out. And I think that's the walk that we're on. Don't read anything more into it other than me saying it's interesting how, you know, we can come up and make a reference to Paul, and Paul, you know, gets attacked as, well, you know, you didn't do it the right way. And you can see that happening. I mean, you could see that happening at today's churches. Well, he didn't go to seminary. You know, he took a class online and got ordained, you know, that way. Well, that's not right. That doesn't really cut it. That's not like 4 years of, you know, he wasn't in the mission fields. I mean, we in the natural can throw all sorts of justifications or leaven and season this and go, no, he didn't do it. He didn't do it the right way. Not winning any points with me. And then we dismiss what can be an incredibly deep revelation from God because we get involved and say, no, it's not enough. You know, and so I'm just sharing my heart that it's, you know, I want God in my life at every turn. And I am confident that I don't know all anywhere close to what I need to know. But I believe fully that God will get me where I need to be if I keep my heart open and right for him. You know, revelation will come from many different places. I get insights from our body ministry. I get insights from the Word. And as we say over and over, and I'm on that same boat, I think I've read this scripture 17 times, but it didn't make, you know, it connected this time. For some of you, it's probably 1,700, but bear with the newbies here. But, you know, my point is that God is, we've been talking about the unfolding revelation, and I think, you know, that's kind of what I'm walking around saying, this is where I'm at, you know, and I'm not where I need to be, but it's not too big for God. I just have to make sure I keep myself out of the way enough.
Right.
And that, and for me, it's like, you know, I've got a plan. Just watch this. I could go help, and, you know, I'm reaching for the ark, you know. And I go, and, you know, no, can't do that. Not good. It's not the way to do it. He is in control. I just have to let him be in control. Bring it back to today and Joe, I mean, I don't know. We say all the time that this is God's plan. You know, it's hard to figure how all of this difficulty and pain that the family's going through is part of God's plan. I don't think, I mean, some families maybe need something like this as a wake-up call to get closer with God, but the Gunn family is not one of those families. I think they've been kind of following God most of their lives, and yet this has fallen upon them. I chalk this up to, I have no idea why God would allow the situation to work the way it is. But it's His plan, and He's good, and He knows from beginning to end how this needs to be. And that's not always very comforting, but it is the truth. And, you know, the truth, the truth isn't always fun, and the truth isn't always easy. I mean, I'm sure the Pharisees, when they were told the truth is that they don't really know God after doing those works, I'm sure they were like, how can this be? You know, so we just have to keep searching and seeking. But I guess if I was to sum up my ramblings this morning, it's just that we need to constantly keep our heart open for what God is going to do and reveal to us next. And I'm living proof that what I fervently thought 10 years ago is anywhere close to what I believe is accurate and fervent today. And my takeaway from that is, God is not done with me. All He's asking me to do is keep getting in the game. Keep stay in the pool, keep swimming. And you know, I'd like to make 3 more laps and be told I'm done and I'm finished, because I'm still flesh. God's got a different plan. We used to always say something which was probably a slight mischaracterization, that, you know, the Bible says, and I haven't really found that exactly, but God won't give us anything more than we can do. It's kind of a construed ism. And I've often heard people get up in the middle of these trials and go, I wish God wasn't so confident in me, because I think He's giving me more than I can handle. You know, from my perspective, it's more than I can handle. And, you know, and then you get involved in one of these faith questions, like, you know, am I really going to be able to get through this? One last thing, I'll sit down. My dad's situation has been a really good faith lesson for me and for my family. Certainly not to the depths that it should be, but I can have conversations and I can talk more about the value and the power of prayer in my house with much more open ears than I could couple months or a couple years ago. So God is doing something in the situation, not what people want, but as I shared the other day, you know, there are certain things that are happening that, you know, from my mind, are miraculous simply because I know where they came from. And then you know where they started from, and you know where they are, and you know they got a long way to go, but you know, before I get too caught up in that, I go, well, where am I? How far do I have to go? And all of a sudden I go, and how hard is it for God to bring everybody along? This isn't beyond Him. It won't take Him too long. Anyways, I hope that was somewhat helpful.
In John 8:31, Jesus said, "He that continues in my word is my disciple." Indeed. He that continues in my word is my disciple. Indeed. And those that continue in Martin Luther's word is Martin Luther's disciple. And then he says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, anyway, I got thinking as Corky was talking, I got thinking about Ezekiel. And God showed Ezekiel a valley full of dry bones, which we're familiar with. And anyway, and as he saw this valley, God spoke to Ezekiel and he said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel looked at him like you and I would, and a hopeless case. There's no chance that these bones could live. But he said, Lord, you know. Well, let me tell you what God did not tell Ezekiel. Here's what he did not tell Ezekiel. He did not say, Ezekiel, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy to these bones what you know. He said, Ezekiel, here's what you do. Prophesy to these bones to hear the word of the Lord. Well, that had very little meaning to me over the years. And as a matter of fact, I have been a part of or sung a part of probably 3 or 4 or 5 songs that were related to that setting in Ezekiel 37. And dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Well, you know what? It meant nothing. Or very little. Until my experience. And Cliff Bish, bless this man, and he's called me almost every day for the last number of weeks, and had a 1 hour session this last week. But anyway, he made a statement, and he'll compliment me, but in a strange way. It's not something that that puffs up anything inside of me. But he said, it was strange when I first started talking about my experience. Because he said, I refuse to give doctrinal viewpoints, my own or anybody else's. And I had a reason for it, because I was told to do something, and that's what I tried to do. And as a matter of fact, we had people that left this church because I refused to dogmatically say that this is what we believe. And because I began to understand something. I began to understand the weaknesses of Keith Gunn. Who I am. What I am. And how many times over the years I have been wrong. So I refused. And so he said it was kind of strange, because he was waiting for me to explain something. Well, this is what I believe. And instead, like a little kid, I kept insisting that the answer is to hear the word of the Lord. 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 And you know what? It took me a number of years before I understood what I was saying. I was doing what I was told to do. I didn't understand that the word of the Lord had this unbelievable power that I was not familiar with. That it sinks, you know, Jesus said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. It has the power and the ability to sink down into the register, down into the inner parts of our system, our hearts. And it's not this thing that beats, you know, a beat a minute, or a beat a second, I mean, not a minute, but a beat a second. That's not what we're talking about. There is something that God has created inside of us that will retain spiritual values. But it doesn't come here first. It comes into the system. And that's why, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy to these bones, Ezekiel. Hear the word of the Lord. And it says, and these bones begin to come together. You know what? I'm thinking that Ezekiel kept repeating over and over and over and over, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Why? They weren't hearing the word of the Lord. And the Pharisees, as I think, was it Corky was just talking about, the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, he said, you are of your father the devil. Now my question is, were the people listening to them hearing the words of the Lord? You tell me what they were hearing. You mean the devil was also was giving them the word of the Lord? I don't think so. They were in a state, and because, and you know what? God was not mad at the Pharisees. God loved them. That wasn't the problem. The problem is they refused to accept the fact that they were people. They were human. They were creations. They were whatever God made. God made me. I am not equal to Him. I don't have the ability to do the things, you know what I mean? I am a creation. That does not mean that God didn't bless His creation, but that's what I am. And so anyway, God told him to hear the word of the Lord. That's what God said. That's what I heard in that voice. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. You got to hear my word. You have to hear my word. So I said, okay. So we've been listening. And I tell you what. I have never had anything that has ever affected and changed me like this has. Going once, going twice. Come on up. Let's come up and let's pray.